Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gaudavani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatadesha Tadu. Yesterday we were discussing that the worshippers of the demigods are less intelligent, because they go after temporary things. And similarly foolish are those who think that the absolute truth is originally impersonal, then takes a personal form as Krishna. They don't understand Krishna's supreme eternal nature. Now Krishna says, Naham prakasha sarvasya yogamaya samavrita mudhoyam nabijanati mamebhya param abhyam. I am never manifest to the foolish. Prakasha. I'm not manifest. Naham prakasha sarvasya. I'm not manifest to everyone. Yogamaya samavrita. I'm completely covered by my yoga maya, my, what was called in the first edition, eternal creative potency, for some reason. But Prabhupada calls internal potency yoga maya. Mudho yam nabijanati. So the fools, the mudhas, don't understand me. They can't know me as I am. Mam ajam. Lokomam ajamavyayam. They can't understand that I'm unborn and unborn and infallible, or avyam, inexhaustible. Well, this is very interesting because we changed the video settings now. It's screwed up. That's not good. There is a... In the Brahma Sangita also it said that the Lord is covered by the Brahma Jyoti, that he's not accessible to the impersonalists. Here, there's a mention of Kunti Devi's prayers, 1.8.19. What is that? Maya, 1.8.19, look it up for me, please.
Being beyond the range of limited sense perception, you are the eternally irreproachable factor covered by the curtain of deluding energy. You are invisible to the foolish observer, exactly as an actor dressed as a player is not recognized.
Same idea, that Krishna is acting just like an ordinary human being, and he's covered from the eyes of the ordinary people by his yogamaya, his internal potency. The yogamaya potency partly manifests Krishna and partly hides Krishna. So he's visible, but they don't see him at the same time. There's a rather major editorial error in the first edition here, which is, I could have shown you if we had the facility. The first edition says, in the prayers of Kunti in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 1.8.18, it is said that the Lord is covered by the curtain of Yogamaya, and thus ordinary people cannot understand him. Kunti prays, O my Lord, you are the maintainer of this entire universe, and devotional service to you is the highest religious principle. Therefore, I pray that you will also maintain me. Your transcendental form is covered by the Yogamaya. The Brahmajyoti is the covering of the internal potency. May you kindly remove this glowing effulgence that impedes my seeing your Sachidananda Vigraha. So where does that prayer attributed to Kunti actually come from? Ishopanishad, 15th mantra. In the first edition, it's Kunti offering that prayer. And they missed the prayer that Kunti actually offers. Any questions? Mahamaya is the portion of Yogamaya. Mahamaya is a portion of Yogamaya. Yogamaya is the internal potency. Mahamaya is that portion of the internal potency that acts externally.
It's not expansion, it's a portion.
Portion, expansion, whatever you want to say. Reflection.
It's within the potency of Yogamaya.
Everything's within the potency of Krishna. That is to say, for Krishna, everything is spiritual energy. But when it's employed a certain way, it acts materially.
No, it's, Mahamaya is acting independent of Yogamaya?
No. There's no independent anything. Internal Yogamaya is the internal energy. The Yogamaya acts as the shadow of the internal potency.
Mahamaya, shadow.
I always understood this verse that point of view, it's Mahamaya. But from Krishna's point of view, it's Yoga Maya. Because for him, there's no difference. And for us also, when we have the eyes to see that, also there's no difference.
Krishna appears by his internal, yeah, you can say that potency. But Yoga Maya is sometimes understood to be that potency by which Krishna is partially visible and partially hidden. Just when he was present on earth, he was visible. But what did people think? Kamsa thought he's an ordinary human being. Somebody else thought something. Somebody else thought something. He was visible, but at the same time hidden.
But Yoga Maya is one who's that Maya, that energy of the Lord, which is doing yoga with these souls.
Hmm?
Connecting.
You don't have to get into the grammar here. It's not going to help.
I told earlier that Yoga Maya links us to Krishna, links devotees to Krishna. Mahamaya keeps devotees away from Krishna.
Yeah, Yoga Maya links or unlinks. But Yoga Maya, just like Yoga Maya hides Krishna from the Vrajbasis also. They're seeing Krishna's manifest, but they're not seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They're seeing our child, our friend. Why? Yoga Maya. Yoga Maya reveals Krishna but conceals Krishna at the same time. But how she does that differs according to the context. In the spiritual world, she's doing it in one way. In the material world, she's doing it another way.
So this verse specifically refers to Krishna when he's manifest on this earth in his eternal form.
Yoga Maya Samavrita, yeah. Naham Prakasha Sarvasya. I'm not visible to anyone and everyone. Even when he comes or when he doesn't come, he's not visible. Why? Because mudo yam na bijanati, the fools are protected. Just like a secretary. Secretary says, "I'm sorry, sir, Mr. Gladstone is very busy. Mr. Rockford is very busy. He's can't see you right now." So he can't get past the secretary. Private secretary means she knows, she lets you in or she keeps you out. So Yoga Maya can let you in or keep you out. Is that all right? Something else?
But the same counts for us at the present moment. Krishna is not manifest in his personal form, but
He's not manifest to us. Yeah, we don't have the qualifications, so we're kept out.
This case also, this verse.
It's like you don't have your badge, you know. You have those badges or bracelets or something. If you don't have the bracelet, you can't get in for prasadam.
Coupon,
whatever the system is. If you don't have bhakti, you can't get to see Krishna. Or even if you see him, you won't see. Any other question here? Yes?
This sentence, the Brahma Jyoti, is the covering of the internal.
Yeah, the Brahma Jyoti acts in this function here. Brahma Jyoti is Prabhupada's identifying essentially here with Yoga Maya.
So Yoga Maya uses Brahma Jyoti to cover this.
Yeah, Yoga Maya is acting in different ways. So sometimes through the Brahma Jyoti, you know, I don't want you to see, I shine a bright flashlight in your bright torch in your face and you can't see anything. You know, so people are after the great white light and they see it and then they can't see anything else. They can't see anything, any individuality. You were talking the other day, everything's one in the darkness, everything's one in the light too. Shine a torch in your face, everything is one. Can't see anything. So Yoga Maya acts that way, acts as the Brahma Jyoti also. Yes?
I was wondering why the external energy is called Mahamaya.
Why? Which one?
The external energy. It's called Mahamaya. Is it great before the divine entity or before Krishna?
Is it what? Is it great before
Krishna or before the divine entity?
Well, she's great for the living entities. You know, great ma means big, actually. Great, big. So she's big for the living entities, big obstacle. And for Krishna, she's doing a great job. It's Chana Rupam Api Yasya Chachesha. Anything else? Yes?
Why did Prabhupada say that Mahamaya doing thankless job for Krishna?
How many times have you said to the material energy, thank you so much? That's why. Something else? Yes?
Is Mahamaya a person?
Yes?
Can
I
have darshan of the deity?
Yeah, there's. You'd like to have darshan of the deity of Yoga Maya? Yeah, you can go to here also. What is that? Prodhamaya.
Purnamasi.
Yeah, in Navadvip side.
Purnamasi is Yoga Maya and spiritual world.
Yeah, no, but apart from Purnamasi, that Prodhamaya is here in Navadvip, it's Yoga Maya. And Purnamasi in Vrindavan is Yoga Maya. Everything's personal.
She's there only in Vrija or she's there everywhere?
Huh?
She's all pervading.
Wherever the work needs to be done, she's there.
She's personally doing the service of Krishna.
Hmm?
So, is she pervading?
Hmm?
Is she knows in and out of me?
Knows what?
In and out of a person.
She knows the ins and outs. She knows enough of what's in you to know when she should keep you out. Is that okay? Okay. Vedaham samatitani vartamanani charjana bhavishyani chaputani mam tu vedana kashchana. Krishna says, I know everything completely about the past and vartamanani. There's a big newspaper in Calcutta, Vartaman. Right? Vartaman is the big,
yes.
Which means
present.
What's going on now? It's the now paper, what's happening today. Vartaman. So vartamanani. Everything that's going on now. And bhavishyani. There's a bhavishya purana, that which is, will happen in the future. So bhavishyani. I also know the future. But mam tu veda na kashchana. Hardly anyone knows me. We don't know the present very well. We think we do, but we don't. What happened in the past is, you know, you read the history books, but five different historians have 10 different stories. And as for the future, it's a guessing game. But Krishna knows everything, past, present, and future. But although he knows everything, hardly anyone knows him. Are there any questions here? I already gave that example from parapsychology of knowing the future. I gave that in this class. Yeah, how sometimes even though the future hasn't happened, statistically it's shown that people have the opportunity to know. Very strange. Anyway, Krishna knows past, present, and future. How he knows, we don't know. But he knows. It's cha dvesha samuttena dvandva mohena bharata sarva bhutani sammoham sarge yanti parantapa. Itcha dvesha samuttena dvandva mohena bharata sarva bhutani sammoham. All living beings are sammoha, completely bewildered, and therefore sarge yanti, they take birth in this material world. Why is everyone bewildered? Dvandva mohina, by the illusion of duality, honor and dishonor, misery and happiness, man and woman, good and bad, pleasure and pain, this and that. Dvandva mohina, bewildered by all these dualities. Why are they bewildered? Ichcha dvesha. Ichcha means? And dvesha? Aversion, hatred. Ichcha dvesha. What is that ichcha? Desire? Yeah, let me be God means, what does that mean? Let me. I always thought it was weird, you know, when I used to hear in the classes in the very beginning that our problem is that we want to be God. I thought, I don't want to be God. I never thought of, you know, being God. I just want to be, you know. Yeah, I want to, have, you know, I want to be who I am. I don't really want to be, I don't even know that there is a God. I'm, you know, what to speak of wanting to be God. So, you know, what is this? The living entity wants to be God. Yeah, it means we want to control. What is God? He's the enjoyer, he's the controller. So I don't want to be God, I just want to enjoy and control. So that wanting, desire, the ichcha and dvesha, we want to avoid Krishna. So this is duality. Or I like this, I don't like that, I like this, I don't like that. So desire and aversion, we're in that duality. But the original duality is that we're averse to Krishna and we're in favor of being the enjoyers ourselves. On that account, yes.
Srila Prabhupada speaks in this regard in a lecture on Bhagavad Gita 420 in Bombay 1974. Small mudhas are working hard only to become happy, and big mudhas want to become God. The small mudha wants to become a minister or a president, and the big mudha wants to become God. The disease is the same. I shall become the most powerful, but that is not possible. Only Krishna is the most powerful.
That's the position. Any questions here? Important verse.
So from that original duality, one gets plunged into the material energy, and one, the duality becomes...
You can't even find where the beginning and where the end is, that original duality, but somehow or other, since time immemorial, this ichcha dvesha are going on, and from that, there's dvandva moha, duality of illusion, or the illusion of duality.
All living entities are born into delusion. Why is it used? Born into delusion.
Some moha, they go, yanti. They go into sammoha, illusion, sarge, at the time of creation or at the time of birth.
And these are the mitabathas.
Yeah, the nityamuktas don't have this problem.
What about Lord Brahma Maharaj?
What about him?
He's a pure devotee, but sometimes he gets when he's material world, does a material world. Is he also born into delusion or doesn't apply to him?
Yeah, he's not one of the Nityamuktas. Anyone who's born is born into delusion. Unless he's, you know, a special case. You know, Kapil Dev is apparently born, but he's not born like an ordinary living being. Otherwise, Brahma is one of the conditioned souls.
Sometimes we read saying that he's always meditating on Krishna. And
that's afterwards. He makes the best use of a bad bargain. He takes birth in the material world and then uses his birth for devotional service. But birth is birth still, even if you take birth as Brahma. That's why he had to do all that penance. Otherwise, why didn't he just say, okay, here I am, let me create the world? But because he was in ignorance, he had to do something. Anything else here? Yes.
This
Well, that's one explanation here. We want to become one with the Supreme Lord, that's Ichcha, and we envy Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That's Prabhupada's gloss for this. And once that's the basis of all the other dualities. You know, I like Susie, I don't like Rekha. You know, I like this, I don't like that. But the original one is, I like Maya, I don't like Krishna. Is that okay? Anything else?
What about being practical in life? Someone says, be practical for you. Like, you might see like differences, but actually you see it's like
I don't understand where the question's coming from. What about practical life?
Sometimes we see there's no difference between man and woman. So we
that's also.
But when it comes to practical life, everyone says.
Yeah, you have to see a difference.
You have to see the normal things.
Yeah, the dualities. First of all, the material world, you wouldn't have all these dualities if you weren't here. Now that you're here, yes, we recognize these dualities, but what? How do we relate to these? You know, I like this one, I don't like that one. Here's someone for my enjoyment, here's someone that actually wouldn't be very enjoyable. That's the problem. Women aren't a problem. It's Jadvesha that's a problem. You know, I like the blonde one. I don't like the one with the dark hair. I like tall girls. I don't like short girls. I like the ones who, you know, are like this, not the ones who are like that. That's the problem. Otherwise, women aren't a problem at all. Yes.
Guru Maharaj gave an absolutely swaying class.
Excuse me?
Bhakti Vijay Guru Maharaj gave a class on this on Sunday about being practical.
Mm-hmm.
He said the only thing that's practical is what's Krishna conscious. And this excuse is the biggest foolish behavior.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, other thing, we make compromises in the name of practicality. But I think his question is, you know, we have to observe the difference between like the door and the wall, you know, which is a duality. You know, one is the door and one is the wall. And if you don't observe that duality, you're going to hurt your nose. So we do have to observe these dualities, but not I like this, I don't like that, because nothing's for my enjoyment. Just like Prabhupada, he was, you know, for enjoyment. You know, he went to Russia in the middle of the winter. What is that enjoyment? That's not material enjoyment. I like this, I don't like that. Whatever Krishna wants me to do. So even though there's distinction, you're not in the material duality of I like this, I don't like that. Is that okay? Yesham tu antakatam papam jananam punyakarmanam te dvandva moha nirmukta bhajante mam dridha vritaha. Yesham tu. But there are those who are always in duality and hate, desire and hate, bewildered by these dualities. But there are those who are dvandva moha nirmukta, free from the illusion of duality. Completely free from the that illusion of duality. Who are such persons? Antagatam papam, those who come to the end of sinful activities. And jananam punyakarmanam, whose activities are all pious. Te, such persons can be freed from illusion and duality. And bhajante mam dridhavrata, they're the ones who engage in my service with determination, dridhavrata. What's the... how does this pertain to us? Jananam punyakarmanam. Antagatam Papam. What's Antagatam Papam in practical terms?
Four regulative principles.
Yeah, four regulative principles. These are what? How does Prabhupada describe these four sinful activities?
Pillars of sin.
Pillars of sinful life. And what happens when you pull down the pillars? Huh? Yeah, building collapses. So these are the four. What is that? Dhyutam, panam, strinam, srunam, yatra, dharma, chaturvidha. In Srimad Bhagavatam. These are the four places given to Kali. These four places where there's a dharma. These are the four main sinful activities. So when we agree, no gambling, no intoxication, no meat eating, no illicit sex, that means antakatam papa, finished with sinful activities. Come to the end of sinful life. Stop. Some little sins are there, but they're, when you pull down the big ones, the little ones go too. And jananam punya karmanam, all pious activities. purifying activities. So persons who engage that way, they can be freed from illusion and duality. How can you be freed from illusion and duality when you're betting on the horses, chasing after prostitutes, drinking and smoking and snorting and injecting and all that stuff? And eating dead bodies. Where are you going to be? How are you going to be freed from illusion and duality when you're engaged in gross sinful life? So, antagatam papa. And has to put an end to sinful activities and punya karma, pious activities. Then one gets freed from illusion and duality. And the result is one can engage in devotional service with determination. Or Prabhupada takes it another way. If you're engaged in devotional service with determination, that means you've already come to the end of sinful activities. Just like a person who is in a PhD course, it's understood he's already completed his undergraduate education. Otherwise, he wouldn't be there doing his PhD. Or, to put it the other way, before you can do your PhD, you have to finish your undergraduate degree. Either way, one has to stop sinful activities and be engaged in pious activities. Then, one can be freed from this illusion and engage in devotional service. This is possible, Prabhupada said, in Krishna consciousness in the association of pure devotees. Any questions about this? Also, a very important verse, yes?
Is it necessary that all sinful activities have to stop before one can start devotional service, or they can start and can stop?
No. One can begin, and that, take it either way. First, just bahunam janmanamante gyanavan mam prapadyate. At becoming, getting freed from, this is part in the yoga system, yam niyam. So that means observing positive and regulative, positive and negative regulations, gradually being purified. Finally, he comes to the point of devotional service. Even in the jnana path, one has to know, I have to perform punya karma and all of these things. And finally, he comes to devotional service. Or one simply takes to devotional service and all of his sinful activities are washed away. Jagai and Madai, they were all sinful. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what did he say first thing?
Stop
your sinful activities. Yes, I'll accept you, but stop your sinful activities, no more. Then you can engage in devotional service. One can engage in devotional service, but dridhavrata. Dridhavrata means with determination. How much determination can one have to serve Krishna when he's still breaking these regulative principles? We see practically, if a person is not following the four regulative principles, very hard for him to have the why, aka Guru Nandana. One has to be one-pointed in one's attention. How can you be one-pointed when you've got the stash of booze under your pillow, mm-hmm. or, you know, Susie under your bed, or, you know, whatever it is. It's very hard to be one pointed, aka Akrunanda, when you've got, you know, another game going. So Dridhavrata. And on the other side, if one strictly follows these principles, he can develop that determination. Just like celibacy. One is celibate, one gets strong determination. The householders who strictly follow regular principles, or the brahmacharis who completely avoid sex, become determined. Otherwise,
But if you stop the sinful activities, but in our minds the desire, sinful desires, is still there.
That may be there, but nashta prayeshu, but treshu nityam bhagavata seva. If we serve, then that the rest of it will also go. But I stopped it, but it's still going on in my mind. Well, I guess I might as well go back to doing it. Yeah. All right, now I've stopped it. Now we'll work on the mental part. And how's the best way to work on the mental part?
Engaging in highest
Krishna. Yeah, you think of Krishna. Engage the mind in the service of Krishna. Then, automatically, it's not engaged in the service of mind.
Or do Bhakti Shastri, where there's no time at all for anything.
Where there's no time for anything, yeah.
So when the course finishes, Bhakti Shastri repeat finishes.
Repeat.
Bhakti Baba.
Yeah. That's always, you know, one engagement finished, then next engagement, next engagement. So that there's no time for my too busy. You know, Haridasa, the prostitute, came and said, yeah, you know, I'd like to, I just have too many rounds to judge. Something else here? Okay. Jura madana mokshaya mam ashriti atantiye te brahma tadvidu krishna madhyatma karma chakila. Prabhupada has an interesting translation of this verse. Krishna is introducing some new terms here. Brahma, Adhyatma, Karma. These are technical terms that are going to be explained in the next chapter. But Krishna says, those who take shelter of me, mam ashritya, jura marana mokshaya, for the sake of liberation from old age and death, te brahma, they're actually brahma, tadvidu kritsnam, and Prabhupada translates this as they know everything about material and spiritual activities. Adhyatma karma chakina.
In first part he said fruitive activities, and second one he called it only transcendental activities.
Mm-hmm. Oh, first edition?
Karma is fruitive activities, second edition karma is activities,
mm-hmm.
which means transcendental activities.
Right. Prabhupada glosses it. Only persons who perform activities in Krishna consciousness, mam ashritya, are actually entitled to be called Brahma, because they are actually endeavoring to reach the Krishna planet. Any questions about this verse?
We want to discuss in the world
here. Loud.
Are we discussing devotees here, or those who just want liberation from material?
Well, they may want liberation. But mam ashritya, they're taking shelter of Krishna.
So they are in a way devotees.
Sure. Anyone who takes shelter of Krishna is a devotee.
Someone who takes shelter of, like he wants to merge into Brahma jyoti, he's also taking shelter of one aspect of Krishna. So
yeah.
He's
also Brahma, but he's a different kind of Brahma. He's Brahma without full realization. He's realized his existence as Brahma, aham brahmasmi, but he doesn't know what is transcendental activity.
The duty of Brahma.
He doesn't know the activities of Brahma. There's aham brahmasmi, I'm Brahma, but if I'm Brahma, what do I do as Brahma? What's the engagement of Brahma? Because it's like, I'm Indian, so what do I do as Indian? I have to pay my taxes, I have to vote, I have to do, you know. Otherwise, what's the meaning of saying I'm Indian? You have to act as Indian. Or I'm a professor. What do you do as a professor? Watch television. No, you have to act as a professor, then you're a professor. So similarly, you have to act as Brahma. Otherwise, you may technically be called Brahma, or theoretically be Brahma, but you're not acting like Brahma. Is that okay? Sadi bhutadi daivam ma sadi yagyam chaye viduhu prayana kale pichamam te vidur yukta chetasa. Now Krishna is introducing some more terms. Adi bhuta, adi daiva, adi yagya. He's already introduced Brahma, karma, Adhyatma. Now he introduces these terms. So those who are yukta chetasaha, engaged in Krishna consciousness, they can know Krishna prayana kale, at the end of time, that is to say at the time of death. They can understand Krishna. And they can understand that Krishna is Adibhuta, Adidaiva, and Adijagya, which will be explained in the next chapter. Are there any questions here? La 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 la. Are there any questions?
Garland is ready.
It's ready. Somebody's got a good question. I have a garland for you. Okay. Are we ready for the next chapter?
Yes.
Okay, let's get up and stretch for a minute before we hit the next chapter. That'll be good for the, that'll wake up the teacher. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
okay, that's all you get. Don't want to get too liberal here. We are now beginning chapter 8. And Arjuna has a question. In fact, he has several questions. Kim tad brahma, kim adhyatmam, kim karma purushottamam. Adibhuta cha kim proktam? Adidaivam kim uchate? What's kim?
What?
What is this Brahma? What is adhyatma? What is karma? What is adibhuta? What is adidaiva? What are all these things?
He's explained this to me.
What are all these things? These are all technical terms, and now Krishna is going to explain them. Not in the next verse, but because there's more questions, but after that. Adiyagya katam kocha Dehesmin Madhusudana Prayana Kale Chakatam Geyosi Niyatatmavi. And what is Adiyagya? And how is that Adiyagya situated in the body? And Prayana Kale Chakatam Geyosi Niyatatmavi. And how can you be understood at the time of death by the self-controlled person? As we'll find in the chapter, that's the most important of the questions. Krishna will answer the other questions in two verses, but the answer to that last question is the whole rest of the chapter. Okay, any question here? Yes? No, it's, but when's the test? Death, right? It doesn't mean that we don't want to, just like we're studying something, it doesn't mean we don't want to understand it before the test. But at the test, we better understand it. We want to pass the test. So everything's tested at the time of death. How can one pass that test? That's the question. Something else? Okay. Krishna, Krishna. Sri Bhagavan Uvacha, Krishna's answering. Aksharam Brahma Padamam Sabhavo Dhyatmam Uchyate. The living being whose Akshara, indestructible and transcendental, is called Brahma. We know Brahma has different meanings. Here it's the small Brahma, living entity. And Svabhava, his nature, is called Adhyatma, the spiritual nature, the nature of the self. And Bhuta Bhavo Bhavakaro Visarga Karma Sangitaha. And activities pertaining to the development of the material bodies is called karma. Very interesting definition of karma. Activities pertaining to the development of material body. Why is that? What is this karma? What is karma in this context? Simple terms, paraphrase it. Yeah, true. Any non-devotional activities, that's what it's not. What is it positively? Fruitive means? If we subtracted that word from the English dictionary, where it half the time doesn't appear anyway, what does that mean? Acting for some result.
Acting for personal satisfaction.
For personal satisfaction. Sense gratification. Material development, no? Material advancement. Now, Srila Prabhupada is going to explain in this very interesting purport the process of material advancement according to actual karma. You know, we say activity, we say karma, we mean activity, we even mean, you know, when you're becoming a dog, it's because of your karma. But elsewhere we read that karma means?
Prescribed
activity, which results in? Elevation. Activity by which you're elevated, materially speaking. That's actually karma. The other thing is vikarma. So there are pious activities which are called karma. And Srila Prabhupada explains that here, only in the second edition. It's one of your additional points. The Chandogya Upanishad mentions five different kinds of offerings and five different kinds of fires. Who understood that? Who didn't understand it? five different kinds of fires and five different kinds of offerings. Who didn't understand that? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 7. Who did? 1, 2, 3. Who's in the middle? You're not sure if you understood it or not. Okay, that's the balance. Let's, since we have this nice board, do we have nice markers for this nice board? We do. All is not lost. Okay, here's one.
Oh, good, they're all here. What are the five different fires?
Clouds.
Which is the first one?
Heavenly planets.
Heavenly planet.
Is it the heavenly fires?
Yeah.
Yes. And clouds.
Heavenly planets. And what's the offering?
Faith.
Is that big enough to see, by the way?
Yeah.
So the offering is faith. What's the next one?
Clouds.
Clouds. Fire? No, clouds is the fire. The clouds is the fire, right? Get it straight. Let's do the offering. What's the offering?
Enjoyer
on the moon. And now the offering is. Next offering,
rains.
Rains. Okay. And it goes to
earth.
Then the next one is
wings.
Now it gets to be rains. That goes to
man.
And then
see.
Okay, so these are the items. Five different kinds of offerings. One. Six offerings. Five different kinds of offerings to five different kinds of fires. These are obviously not literal fires. It's not that the rain is on fire. But these are, you know, we do a yajna and we offer something into the fire. There are offerings made into the fire. So these are five kinds of fires, as it were, places where the offering is given. And these are the five kinds of offerings. So you get a pious karmi, a fruitive worker, who's following the Vedic rituals. He's performing pious activities with faith. The faith is being offered, and the result is that he goes to the heavenly planets. He becomes the enjoyer on the moon, the Soma. Soma Purusha. He becomes the enjoyer on the moon. You know, you did all that punya karma, you offered your faith, heavenly planets, and you went. You became Somaraj. You became the Somapurusha. You became the enjoyer on the moon. What's happening while you're on your vacation in the moon? Your pious results are decreasing. You go on vacation, you're spending money. So pretty soon you're going to be out of money. You know, $60 hotel bill every day, food and entertainment. You know, after some
this, let's back to work. So the enjoyer on the moon, now he's used up his pious credits, and so he's going to go down to the clouds. Then he's going to take the form of rain. He's going to be present in the rain. And the rain is going to be offered where? To the earth. Then from the earth,
grains.
The grains are eaten by the man. Then they develop
semen.
The semen is offered to the woman. And what's the result of that?
Another birth.
Another pious little Carmi is born. And he starts all over again, you know, so he begins the cycle again.
Earning. Cycle of earning. Earning and spending.
Of earning and spending. Pious credits. So as Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, got to get to the right verse or you don't find it. In this way, the living entity perpetually comes and goes on the material path. He's going up, becoming the Soma Purusha. He's coming down and becoming, you know, a little kid to start over again. And he's going through these different steps in between. So this is described later, also it's referred to in this chapter as Panchagni Vidya.
Is it mentioned how lands up in the cloud? What's the process?
I don't know how detailed the description gets, but what goes up must come down. That's the basic rule. How precisely he comes down.
From Atmatam, only half part that the from heavenly planets, the entity is sucked out in the antariksh where the rakshasas, they became alive. And he cries a lot, and those drops fall on the crowd and through the cloud.
Maybe, I don't know.
I don't know, it's authentic.
Yeah, I haven't heard. But anyway, what matters is that you can't stay up there forever, and so you wind up coming down again. That's the point. Yes?
I don't understand the analogy of fire and offering. How is the offering?
How is it an offering? Your faith is offered. It's on the strength of faith that you are promoted to heaven. Then this may be a rather involuntary offering that you're headed down toward the clouds. The clouds offer rain to the earth. We see that in our practical experience. And we see that the rain contributes, the earth contributes to the, we see that the rains go to the earth. Then we see that the grains are offered to the man. That we see. And we also see the semen is offered to the woman. That's sex.
That's something which we need not see.
Yeah, which we'd rather not see. So these are our offerings into the fire. Well, the person himself, yeah, I mean, it's through a process. He himself is offering his faith to go to the heavenly planets, and he's getting caught in this cycle. Presumably, he would rather offer himself up to, you know, eternal enjoyment, but he's not getting that opportunity. Yes.
Can you say this is how the soul travels from the heavenly planets to back to the earth?
Yes. From the heavenly planets, this is the descending process, the process of falling down to the from the heavenly planets to the earth.
It happens to every living entity, or
no? Most living entities don't even get to the heavenly planets.
Because the cycle is perfection.
Excuse me?
Because the cycle is perpetual.
It may be the cycle may be perpetual, but you may not get into the cycle.
Yeah,
You may be in some other cycle, you know, down to the hellish planets, back up to Earth, down to the hellish planets, back up to Earth, down to the hellish planets. This is karma. This is the process of karma or pious activity for development. There's the vikarma process also, which develops in a different way. Yes?
So is a process that stipulated how the living entities recycle from the hellish planets?
From the hellish planets, yes. He uses up his, just as you use up your pious credit, you work off your sinful credit, just like somebody's sentenced to 10 years. 10 years hard labor. So every year you're doing your hard labor, now it's 9, 8, 7. After 10 years you'll be released.
And because the proclivity is not removed, again do.
Excuse me?
Because the proclivity of sin.
Yeah, that's another thing. You may commit a crime again and go back. But while you're in jail, you're working off your time. That expression is there among jail people, doing time. You know, you're sentenced to 5 years, so every year that goes by, you're closer to getting out.
But is there a process the same as this? Like the clouds?
Is it the same? No, there's no clouds. You're not up in the clouds. You're not up in the clouds. You're down someplace underneath the... in the nether regions. You don't get to see the sun when you speak of the clouds.
So how does the living entity enter into the seemingly, in order to get a birth in a...
Yeah, some process. I don't know how it's... Karmana divine trena. by the arrangement of higher authorities. By the arrangement of higher authorities, he's put there, yes.
When
you're fighting with the kids.
When the living entity leaves one body, it takes up another body, right? So how death relates with fear?
How, which, what?
When the living entity leaves one body, the antara prapti, leave one body, takes another body, how death we can relate to this?
Is
totally different?
Not quite sure, but this is how he's moving around. He must be getting...
I guess it's a different cycle.
Excuse me?
This is the movement of the consciousness.
Well, consciousness moves into some place. It doesn't just move on its own. I can't specifically answer that question. I can't even unspecifically answer it.
I think when we plant seeds, they germinate.
Yeah.
It's a sign that the living entity is taking shape.
Yeah, the living entity is there. He's in the grains, certainly.
Yeah.
He's there in the semen, certainly. So it appears that he's also there. He's there as the enjoyer on the moon. But that's another embodiment. And it seems that he's somehow or other in rain also. You know, I don't know if the living entity gets a raindrop body or just what it is, but he's there.
Living entity is Sarvagata, all over. Sarvagata.
Sarvagata, he's everywhere. He's everywhere. Anything further about this?
I think Garuda Purana, I think, explains how the living entity gets in
the world. Oh yeah, there's a whole thing in the Garuda Purana, which isn't always in line with what we read elsewhere, but there's a lot in the Garuda Purana. Any other questions about this? Is it clearer than when you started out, or more confusing than when you started out? More clear? Yes.
I heard that if someone goes to hellish planets, that first he has to somehow, his consciousness has to be prepared for these planets.
Have you read Third Canto, Srimad Bhagavatam?
Yeah.
You have? Then you must have read about that.
Yeah.
What happens?
Yeah, there's some kind of torture in there.
Huh? Yeah.
Yeah, this is my question. And how come that this enjoyer on the moon can immediately comes to the brain? There's no, in this consciousness, he's not aware of anything. How come that this person enjoyed on the moon from such elevated consciousness can come into brain with no...
He doesn't come directly, he comes
through the clouds.
Through the clouds and then to the...
But some, I don't know.
I don't understand the question.
How come that he is so elevated, his consciousness, and when he leaves his body and the moon, he immediately...
That's what it's like, Baba. You know, how come the living entity who's eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge is, you know, is swimming through some muck in a street with his snout down in the bottom there looking for some stool that some diseased person has passed there some time ago. You know, if he's eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge, what's he doing that for? Or we see, you know, sometimes a person who has a very high position in the Krishna consciousness movement leaves. And then on the outside in the material world, he's doing the most mean, lowly activities. How is it possible? The person who was so big, you know, who's doing such big things, now he's, you know, doing, you know, things that even for an ordinary karmi, it's like, you know, guy can't get his life together or something like that. How is it possible? That's what it's like. By the mercy of Krishna, or through his energies, one is promoted to a very high position. And when Krishna desires, it's all pulled out. You're down there. Arjuna, he was the hero of Kurukshetra. When Krishna took the power away, he was defeated by some ordinary cowherd men. Coward men. And here's the person who, you know, fought with Bhima, with Bhishma and Drona and with Lord Shiva, with all these great heroes and demigods. And then he was beaten down by some cowherd men. You know, when Krishna takes that power away, there you are. Jonathan Swift, who was the greatest wit in the British Isles, very sharp, very, very witty and sarcastic. And in his old age, he went senile, and you know, he lost his wits.
Even Man of Steel more than
they lost it, you know, they used to charge, some boys would charge, you know, a few coins to see him, you know, it was like such a demeaning position.
Muhammad Ali, who was considered Man of Steel, he became...
Yeah, Muhammad Ali is like an invalid, practically. But that's the material energy, you know, you become so big, you're the enjoyer on the moon. And then the next thing, you know, you're... There you are in a little drop of semen looking for a body to get into.
Out of millions.
Hmm?
Competing amongst
millions. They come competing against so many. And then, you know, you're born as a little brat smeared with this and that and the other thing. You know, there you were the biggest thing and now you're nothing.
Even Indra became a hog.
Indra became a hog. Same thing. So, you know, we think that we're like invulnerable, we've got this position, we've got security, we've got power, we've got prestige, we've got this, we've got that. In one moment, boom, you can lose everything. One moment, we can lose everything. So, the karmis, gatagatam, kama kama lahante. They're going up to the heavenly planets, you know, with so much endeavor and, you know, pious activities and sacrifices and, you know, very, you know, this and this and this and this. And they make it and then they fall down again. That's what's happening. And that Krishna will develop that theme in this chapter of the day. It is coming and going.
Some spiritualists in my country, there are a lot of them that they believe that the soul just increase the position,
yeah.
Not decrease.
Yeah,
so it's always increasing.
sure, the theosophists and so on, they think that you just travel up the evolutionary ladder, the soul just goes higher and higher. But that's not the picture from Vedic literature.
I have a question on this. Like after finishing all the five spirits on the moon, is it guaranteed that you get a human form, the living entity, or it can go to some other species?
Well, of course, if he's a yogi, we read in the sixth chapter, he comes back as a human being. Seems to indicate here that he does, but I don't know for sure, but it's at least here it seems to be indicated. Yeah. I don't know whether there's, you know, this is always how it is, but here it's indicated that way. But so what, you know, you just to keep going up and down, up and down. Better than, you know, becoming a dog, you know, just, but still just to come down and go up and go down and go up. Anything else?
But this is the one that's going to further explain 8.16.
Excuse me?
8.16.
8.16. I never learned the numbers. Bhuvana Loka. Yeah, I mean, yes and no, because Brahmaloka is not what's referred to here. But this whole theme of coming and going will be developed in the chapters. Stay with us and you'll see. Anything else? Okay. So we've said what Brahma is, Adhyatma, Karma. Now, Adibhutam Kshorobhava, Krishna says, and this is also greatly enhanced from the previous edition where a lot of this wasn't explained.
Practically none of it.
The translation here is coming essentially from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, as far as I recall. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains these terms within his translation, and Srila Prabhupada also follows suit, particularly in regard to the universal form, where his explanation is somewhat expanded. So, Adibhutam Kshara Bhava, the material nature is always changing. And Prabhupada explains that the material bodies go through six changes. What are those changes? Birth, development, stays for some time. Has some byproducts. We talked about them yesterday. Dwindling. And kaput, finished. Six changes. So constantly changing, constantly changing. So that's Adibhuta. The physical nature is created at a certain point. It'll be annihilated at a certain point. Then, Purushas Chadidaivatam. The Adidaiva is Purusha. Purusha means, here especially, the Virat Purusha, the universal form of the Supreme Lord, which includes all the demigods and their different planets, like the sun and moon. That's Adidaiva. And Adiyagya is the Paramatma. Now Krishna has explained all of those terms. Are there any questions about any of them? Karma, Brahma, Adhyatma, Adidaiva, Adiyatma, Adiyagya, they're all explained. These are all technical terms, and Krishna has neatly explained them in, two verses. And now he's going to move on to the big question, which is going to occupy the rest of the chapter. But before we move on to that big question, we are going to take our break. So you're all on leave for 15 minutes, and we'll see you after that. Does the controller of the MP3 recorder turn off the MP3 recorder for the next 15 minutes? Or just leave it run?
We can turn off.